Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah. I do not know what page number it is in your pew Bibles if you wish to follow along, so you're just going to have to find it. Isaiah chapter 42, beginning at verse 1. Hear the word of God. Isaiah 42, beginning at verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. This is what the Lord God says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament lesson comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. And again, I don't know what page number it is in your pew Bibles. If you want to find it, you're going to have to find it. Hear the word of God. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, here we have just started a new year. Begun a little bit, but not very much. And at this time of the year, every year, we kind of wonder what the future will hold. Who will win the Super Bowl? That's always a good question at this time of year. Which nation will grab the most gold at the 2020 Olympics? Which candidate's going to reach the White House? What's going to happen in the Middle East? Some of these questions are really serious, and some of them are kind of frivolous, but we kind of think about them all. But we simply don't know. It can be amusing after the fact to look back at some of the things we thought last year might happen and see which ones of them did happen. My Rotary Club, for instance, on the last meeting of the year, used to make what they called prognostications and also look at the ones they did the year before to see which ones of them came true. Occasionally, we got one or two right, because we picked pretty obvious ones for that. But mostly, we were way off the track. We're not alone in making poor predictions. Take, for example, the inventions that some people predicted would surely have a lot of fizz, but fizzled out instead. There was the immobilizing foam gun. Sounds really good. It blasts a sticky foam at criminals, so sticky that the bad guy can't move. It's sort of like being wrapped up in saltwater taffy, so I was told. The problem is the foam also immobilizes a person's air passages. So the immobilized person ends up dead, and that is not really what was intended. Not such a big hit after all. There is a virtually endless list of inventions and patents applied for that really just went terribly bad. Have you heard of the dog umbrella? The automatic toilet closer. Although I've been seeing ads on television lately that the high-tech toilets coming out of Japan actually do include that feature, among several others. The finger toothbrush. And, of course, there's the beerbrella. I mean, who wants his beer to get wet? No one. But that never became a big seller either. So, you see, it's hard to tell the future. But there are market analysts and think tank wizards and pseudo-prophets and soothsayers who do that sort of thing all the time. I'm referring to people like, some of you remember, Gene Dixon, the astrologer, and the amazing Criswell. Dixon made hundreds of predictions in the 50s, 60s, and 70s and wrote a horoscope book for dogs. According to Mental Floss magazine, Dixon was the most famous for foreseeing the assassination of President John F. Kennedy in 1956. And she also said that a Democrat would win the 1960 election and die in office. She was right there, but she was far from perfect. She also said that World War III would break out in 1958. The cancer would be cured in 1967. Very wishful thinking. And that peace would cover the earth in the year 2000. Haven't seen that one. Criswell was a pop culture figure of the 60s who predicted that tragedy would strike President Kennedy in November. Got that right. What he got wrong, he predicted that a space ray would zap Denver. That brain transplants would be sold in vending machines. That mass cannibalism would break out in August 1999, and that Mae West would be elected president. And as president, she would celebrate by taking her close friends to the moon. Clearly, if you're trying to predict what's going to happen in 2020 even, or attempting to predict the success of a new invention, or simply making educated guesses about what is going to go down in the culture, you're in for a rough time of it. Prophecy as prediction is fraught with peril. It's pretty much always been like this. Except for what we find the biblical prophets doing. What we find them doing is not foretelling, but forthtelling. Take Isaiah, for example. In today's text, God delivers a message through the prophet. He says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights." Isaiah is a mouthpiece for God, and through him, the Lord announces, "I have put my spirit upon him. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for his teaching." Isaiah is speaking about a servant of God and is making clear that this servant is chosen by the Lord, full of God's spirit and known for his justice and his teachings. Mishpat and Torah are the marks of this servant. That's Hebrew for justice and teaching. The prophet Isaiah is announcing that God's servant brings justice and teaching right into the middle of all the chaos and confusion of today, of day-to-day life. But just exactly who is this servant of God? Did Isaiah get this right? Yes, he did. Israel did, in fact, prove to be a light to the nations. opening the eyes of the people around the world to the teachings and justice of the one true God. Without Israel, we would never have been introduced to the God of Abraham and Sarah, of Isaac and Rebekah, of Jacob and Rachel. We never would have gotten to know God's Son, Jesus, either. Isaiah speaks the truth about Jesus. Here's where Isaiah's prophecy gets really interesting. It may have first revealed a truth about Israel, but it later revealed the true nature of Jesus, the Messiah. When Jesus was baptized by John, the Spirit of God descended like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." These words could have come straight out of Isaiah 42, in which God says, "Here is my servant, my chosen, in whom my soul delights." Same thing. Clearly, what Isaiah got right is Jesus. He's the servant of the Lord with God's Spirit upon him, the one who will faithfully bring forth mishpat, justice. Jesus will be a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, a savior who will bring out the prisoners from the dungeons. Isaiah sensed what God was up to, and he spoke the truth about Jesus, the Messiah of God. Now, this reveals a true key about good prophets, one that we need to always keep in mind. They're not supposed to be fortune tellers who precisely predict what will happen in the months and the years to come. Instead, they're supposed to be truth tellers who speak clearly about what is happening right now. A good prophet paints a clear picture of the state of the world with all of its pains and brokenness, sin and selfishness. A good prophet speaks the truth in love. You've heard that phrase before, I'm sure. And points people to where God is at work in the middle of all of our human failings and flailings. A good prophet is a truth teller, not a fortune teller. Paul Ehrlich, who was a respected professor at Stanford University, in 1968 wrote a book called The Population Bomb. In it, he stated that people would have a lot of babies in the future. He saw the population growth around him, and he spoke clearly about it. That is truth-telling. That is good prophecy. But Ehrlich went on to say that hundreds of millions of people will starve to death. Hundreds of millions. And he predicted that India would run out of food in 1971. That's fortune-telling. That's bad prophecy. Isaiah is a good prophet because he paints a clear picture of the state of the world. He speaks the truth in love and points people to where God is at work. He doesn't predict details of the arrival of the baby Jesus in Bethlehem, but says that God's servant will open the eyes that are blind and bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. Isaiah sees that the world has problems and identifies God's solutions. That's truth-telling, not fortune-telling. Isaiah speaks the truth about us. Even better, this kind of prophecy steers us in the direction that we need to go, but we don't always listen to it. Isaiah doesn't just get right that God's servant is coming. He creates a template that we can use for our own actions and attitudes. Bringing forth justice and being a light to the nations are not just the responsibility of Jesus the Messiah. They're also part of the job description of anyone, everyone, who follows Jesus. That's us, people. The prophet is speaking about us, right along with Jesus. What Isaiah got right is the need for servants of God to bring forth mishpat, justice, in every time and place. In other words, it is our calling also. True story. A homeless man named Ben walked into a Virginia church one afternoon asking to see the pastor. He was suffering from kidney stones and had a prescription for a painkiller, but no money to pay for it. Ben asked if the pastor had funds to fill the prescription for him. Now, Reverend Mike, let's call him that, it's not really his name, had a ton of stuff to do that afternoon, and Ben's predicament was way down at the bottom of his to-do list. But Reverend Mike just happened to be studying Isaiah 42 and had just read an important line about the character of the servant of God. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Homeless Ben was a bruised reed, a dimly burning wick. And Reverend Mike knew that the health care is a constant struggle for the uninsured poor of our country. And he sensed that he really needed to do something. If he was going to be God's servant and faithfully bring forth justice, he needed to help fill that prescription. So the next morning, the two of them went to the pharmacy looking rather like a strange couple. Ben, all covered with tattoos, and Reverend Mike in a dress shirt and a cheap Sears tie. They picked up the painkillers. Then, on the car ride back to the church, Ben told his story. He had grown up on a dairy farm in Ohio with an abusive father who ended up shooting Ben's mother and then killing himself. Ben had served in the military and worked as a truck driver. And now he was meeting with a mental health counselor to get himself into a group home. When they said goodbye, Reverend Mike wished Ben well and invited him to worship. He was glad that he had been God's servant that morning, doing what he could to bring forth a little bit of mishpat justice and offer a ray of light to a man who was dwelling in deep darkness. Good prophets are not fortune tellers, they're truth tellers. And God wants us to listen to what they say. Isaiah got it right. Servants of God do exist in the nation of Israel, in Jesus Christ, in each of us. May we live our days in ways that make this prophecy come true. Amen.